This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Looking for a jukebox hero or any other kind of hero last night out at Petco Park and didn't really get one. And shows like this today, man, you wake up in the morning and you go, I love the tier ones. I do. I love Ben. I love Paul. But just not your favorite ones to do, especially after the beautiful weekend at Petco Park. But listen, it is what it is. I did see somebody say that championship teams, playoff teams, don't lose those kind of games. And they absolutely do. They absolutely do every single year. It happens
maybe
every
not,
single
maybe
year.
Maybe not more than often,
right?
But they do.
Yeah, there's no question. Just sucks. It's just a crap loss last night, and definitely sticking in my craw a little bit. Certainly no guttural scream this morning. I was screaming internally for sure. Let's see if you can hear it.
Oh wow, you need to calm down.
No, I know, right? Seriously. Did
good.
You hear that?
Oh yeah,
holy
that
cow,
that was loud,
man. It's tough, dude.
Deafening silence.
Yeah, well, you're listening to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. We do appreciate you being here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is here as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Tear your hair out.
Yeah.
Just frustrating against Padres. Zing, or whatever you want to call it. That was last night. And especially frustrating coming off the series against the Dodgers. I do want to apologize in advance. There is a certain, if I'm reading my social media mentions correctly, there's a certain segment of Padres fans out there who are not going to be happy, I don't think, with either of our takes on the show today.
Well, my takes have gone back and forth in my head. I'm trying to still collate them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
On one hand, I'm livid. On the other hand, I'm over it, you know. But it's our job to come in and parse out what happened last night. And I think, you know, the majority of the blame is going to fall on Manny Machado today. And, you know, whether that's fair, unfair, it is what it is. I mean, you have your cleanup hitter coming up, and really, you need a sac fly to tie the game. But you need a base hit to win it. And, I said it yesterday. That's my favorite baseball player. It's doubly hard for me to watch my guys scuffle so badly, but I am also of the opinion that, yeah, that's what you're there for. That's why you're in the four hole. That's why you make the big bucks. You got to get the job done there, period, man. I think Manny would tell you that as well.
Well, he didn't come through, and that was extremely disappointing. And the part that I'm specifically talking about are I had at least 40, I think, people say, Manny, it's bad baseball to swing at the first pitch there. Manny's an idiot. Manny doesn't know ball. And that's the part that I'm going to disagree with right there. I don't share that take. I don't think it's wrong at all for a big league baseball player to swing at a first pitch, even after walks. This isn't Little League.
It's not Little League, man.
You're looking for your best pitch to hit. Do I think that was the best pitch for Manny to hit? Of course not. And I would hope that he would agree with that as well. But you're not going up there with your bat on your shoulders just waiting to take a strike in the big leagues. I just... That's not how I think it should work. It's not how it does work, especially for a player of Manny Machado's caliber. I just totally disagree with that take. And if you think that that's what baseball is, then you're living in high school baseball. You're living in Little League baseball. What your coach told you when you were 12, it doesn't apply in the big leagues. It really doesn't. You're looking for the best pitch to possibly hit. And if it's the first pitch, that may be the best one you see and maybe the one you should go after. So it's not the decision-making of going after the first pitch. It's simply the choice of, you know, the swing and the execution of not getting it done there that is very frustrating. But you're never going to convince me that Manny Machado doesn't know ball or was being a selfish player in that situation. He's got the same goal that every Padres fan, every coach has in that ballpark. He wants to win the game for the team, as he should be trying to do in that situation. So if you disagree with that, I'm sorry, but I don't think Woods is going to say anything different. I don't know if Paul's going to say anything different either.
No, I mean, you want him to come through there, obviously. And he did, you know, whatever it was when Schilt took that run off the board. And, hey, what was that? That was first pitch. Yeah. I mean, look, I looked at his numbers this morning because I was curious about it as well. I mean, on an 0-0 count, first ball hitter, 389 on the fastball. On an 0-1 count, 083 on the fastball. And on an 0-2 count, 0. So, I mean, That's this year. Could you be a better hitter, Manny, 0-1? Could you be a better hitter, 0-2? Sure, absolutely. But he also knows what he wants to do there. And I hated the pitch selection that he swung at. You know, I really did. I didn't think it was a good pitch to handle. But, you know, he rolled it over and didn't get the job done. And it sucks. It sucks to watch. And it sucks for Padres fans. You battle back, you know, so hard in that game to get it close and feel like that's a game that it was probably, boy, that 9-4 one was tough. That one was really tough. Watching it go away.
That's, by the way, two consecutive games against the Colorado Rockies, by the way.
With Dakota Hudson on the mound, by the way. But it's, you know, a different one in this one. Letting it slip through your fingers is awful. But valiantly trying to come back and having multiple opportunities and not doing it, that sucks too. it's 6-1, half dozen of the other, man. So I posted those numbers, and our buddy Bradley said, Profar was on deck. You keep the lineup moving for your big bat. I mean, you don't really. Like, that's your cleanup hitter that makes $30 million a year. I'm fine with him swinging there. That's his job to at least tie that game or win that game. Somebody said, oh, he's up there looking for the big hit. You think so? Of course he is. Of course he's looking for the big hit.
Just like Luis Arraez was on Friday night.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Going up there looking for the big hit.
That sucks.
If you're going up there looking for a walk.
Oh, you guys hated Juan Soto when
you're
did that.
You're not a big league hitter.
Right.
That's not what you should do.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd really have to be a bad, like, you know, 180 hitting nine hitter for the manager to go, hey, just keep taking until you get to two strikes or something. You're just not going to see that in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's tough, dude. It's really, really tough. Those are the games that you feel like you have to win, especially when you mount a comeback like that, man. So, I ride with all these guys. I really do. I mean, this is the first Padres team since we've started covering the team, certainly, that I look at and I go, I love them all. Really? Like, there's something to like about every single player. I have not always felt that way. I do still believe in this team. I do believe that this team is a 500 team because that's what their record says they are. But I think that that's what we need to be right now. You can't let too many more games against cellar dwellers slip through your fingers. That's two. That's two right now. You cannot lose to the Colorado Rockies, especially, you know, when you had multiple chances. It wasn't just Manny, too. It was the seventh. It was the eighth. It was the ninth. It was making Dakota Hudson look like prime Verlander. He's at 65 pitches in the seventh inning or something insane like that. Like, That can't happen. So a lot of first pitch weak rollovers last night. Again, weird defense, the ball dropping in between Merrill and Tatis. That's something that's been an issue, not just under Schilt, under Melvin, under Tingler, under Green. The communication out there gets a little bit spotty at times, and those are plays that have to get made. You know, there are bright spots about last night's game, certainly. Jackson Merrill being one of them was fantastic. But, man, when you look at the top four, yes, Manny makes the most money, certainly, out of the top four. But the top four last night were 0 for 15. Now, they managed still to get on base five times, those guys. But still, 0 for 15 just doesn't cut it with a lineup like ours. Our bottom of our order has really carried us in far too many games this season. So I love these cats. I do. I believe in them. I'm calmer about it now. Pretty pissed, though, when I woke up, you know, this morning and let it all kind of sink in again, knowing I got to go hash this thing out for 4 hours on the radio. I'm going to see some dumb comments. I'm going to see some astute comments. But I just, you know, again, with the numbers, that guy knows what he wants to do. I didn't like the pitch personally, but I understand why he's hacking. Oh, that's where he does his damage. And it's not in question. It's not even in question. If he takes that pitch to be a good team player, his average drops 300-some-odd points.
Sure, and I think you can very logically think in the mind of Colorado's pitcher going, okay, now I don't have any place to put him. The last thing I want to do is fall behind 1-0 to Manny Machado.
That's why you're looking there.
Start risking going deeper into this count. I've got to throw a strike on the first pitch. Yeah. And Manny is thinking probably the same thing. The pitcher knows he kind of needs to throw a strike on this first pitch. So I'm looking for a strike. I'm probably looking for something on the inside part of the plate. He got it. It was just
couldn't get his hands.
It was just a little bit. It was a better pitch than he was expecting.
Yep.
It was on the corner. It was a little bit lower. It was kind of right, maybe half an inch out of the zone he was probably really looking for. And that's all it takes to turn a game-winning double down the line into a game-ending double play to the third baseman. And unfortunately, that is baseball.
Aaron says, I should probably pick a different player. Manny looks washed for good. I mean, I'll bet you on that one. I'll take that bet. Certainly. But I can't turn off who my favorite player is. You know, that's my favorite baseball player. You know, that's who I love the most. So it's hard when you watch your favorite, especially. Everyone's got their favorite players, right? But you know, mostly I root for the laundry. And this year, everybody in the laundry, I pretty much dig, man. I really do. So, that's been a refreshing thing this year to not have a guy that I go, please fire this guy into the sun. You know, really. I mean, honestly, I'm racking my brain. Are there guys that you could upgrade? Sure, absolutely. But there's not one of those guys I go, you got to get this guy off this team. And I've felt that way about 7-8 guys every single year. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, we're all frustrated, absolutely, with that game. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I will say about Manny as well that you can't forget that he is coming off major surgery. I mean, that he is still less than 2 months coming back from, you know, when he first picked up a baseball, essentially, from pretty big surgery on his elbow. I have no idea if or how much that is affecting a slower start for Manny Machado, but you can't just dismiss it and go, well, he's back. He's got to be producing it at 100% Manny Machado levels right at the beginning of the season. I don't think that's fair as well.
Spike just hit me up and said, before the baby, he was hitting 260 with the baby, 172, 128 at home. Yeah, maybe. When we had our firstborn, you guys know I was like homicidal. I mean, it's gnarly. It's really, really gnarly. Now, it's conversely, you can say, oh, man, you get that good dad strength going. Maybe it takes a while to kick in. But look, I'm not giving up on any of these guys. I'm not. And I'm certainly not giving up on Manny Machado. Sorry. If you want me to come in here and rip him, he needs to get the job done. Period. He makes too much money for that to happen last night. Straight up. But I'm not giving up on Manny Machado. I do not think Manny Machado is, quote unquote, washed. By any stretch. There's really nobody on the team I feel like is washed. I feel like everybody, especially in the top of the order, they're underperforming right now. But like Schilt said last night, I'll take him every single time at the dish with the bases loaded. Every single time. I just watched him come through and win a game for us.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take Manny up there every day. You know, it just didn't work out.
I just, you know, I understand the frustration. I understand if I was coaching a 12U team and my son walks up and the guy's thrown four straight balls And if my son swings at one and rolls into a double play, I'm going to ask him, what did you think? And I saw a pitch I could hammer. And
what were you looking for?
Well, yeah, pitch, what were you looking for there, Bo? Yeah, I mean, Manny Machado is different. There are his numbers. He knows that he's a better first ball hitter. And he got one he thought he could handle, and he didn't handle it. And that's kind of what it boils down to for me. I can say that, but also say, yeah, man, you need to come through there, bro. You do. You got to. That's why they pay you. That's why you're in the four hole. That's it. Driving those runs. And
I mean, is it different if he hits a scorching liner at third and they and they double him off at third base or something?
Are people still mad he swings at the first
pitch?
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
Is that the argument that you just can't swing at the first pitch, or is it simply you didn't execute?
Because if you're mad at him swinging first pitch, I think you were going to be mad either way, unless he hit a home run.
Just a single. Single or sack fly to tie it, you know? I mean, that's the other thing, too, is like the productive outs that we were getting, you know, really, really, we were good. We're getting
number one in baseball in productive outs.
Yeah, yeah. And it's.
They're the best team in baseball so far this season.
The last few games feels like we've missed some opportunities there. You know, the old ground ball to second to move the runners on first and second. Luis Arraez coming up and grounding that double play. I thought right there, I'm like, this is the perfect guy. First and second, nobody's going to be able to pull this ball to the right side, get these guys over better than him. No, he hits a screamer right at the shortstop, easy double play. Nando comes up, first pitch, Randy roll over to short. In the span of 7 seconds, they're out of that inning. That was brutal, brutal. There was a series of brutal events that led to last night's loss. And I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Obviously, Matt, last man at the dish with the bat in his hand, rolling into a double play, he's going to get the brunt. And I think it's deserved. But holy smokes, guys. Should have won that game by 6. 11 walks and 8 in the last 3 innings, and you can't score a run? That's tough, man. That's a tough look. Nope. So, got to regroup.
Can't wait until we start talking about this game this morning. That was good foreplay. Get us nice and easy into
Everyone nice and loose and having a good morning.
This morning's show. We will definitely get into today's game at some point. I know if you were tuning in hoping that we'd have some hot takes on last night's game, be patient. We will get there. Don't worry. We've got some thoughts on what happened last night at Petco Park. I'm sure we will share them. We can't talk about National Buttermilk Biscuit Day all morning. We will get to the game. Coming up, set the menu for what we've got on a Tuesday. Good morning, Padres fans. Yeah, we feel it out there. Absolutely. On San Diego's number one sports station. Here's Kelly with traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Sometimes life isn't fair. You hear that a lot. Parents say that to you.
Said it to my kids like four times yesterday. Life sucks sometimes. You got to get a helmet.
It's one of my least favorite expressions out there. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. If you ever talk to like my mother, you'll know that growing up, I am a big believer in fair play. I'd like everything to be as fair as possible all the time. Now, I realize that is impossible. That's a dream that can never happen. There is just inherent inequities in the world, in sports, in everything. You can't make everything 100% fair all the time. But I strive to be balanced and fair as much as I can, especially with this platform that we have, that we are fortunate enough to have to talk about the Padres. And that involves sometimes being critical of the team. And we have been critical to the point that we have heard it from, you know, people inside the organization sometimes, like, hey, don't be, you know, why are you so tough on us? We've heard it from the fans for not being critical at times. It's a balance that you have to strike sometimes in this job. And I think I want to just make clear, because I see a lot of already in the chat this morning on social media, that, oh, they're just the excuse makers, they're defending Manny. It's really not that for me. For me, it's the fact that I know that if I came on this morning and just hammered a team that has won four series in a row, that has really been playing some of its best baseball of the season, probably its best baseball of the season the last couple of weeks here in May, over one loss in which they did, you know, gave themselves a lot of opportunities and didn't come through. I think that would be unfair of me to do that to the San Diego Padres this morning, to just hammer them over that game last night. Am I frustrated as a fan? Of course. I'm sure they're even more frustrated than you are that they didn't find a way to win it. I also don't think that they or the fan base should be incredibly discouraged by that one game at the same time. So I'm going to try to take a fair, measured approach this morning, despite our frustration and despite the fact that, of course, the top of the lineup needs to be better, that Manny Machado needs to put up bigger numbers, as does Fernando Tatis Jr., as does Xander Bogaerts. Even with home runs the last two games, you're going to need more out of all of those guys going forward. But ultimately, to be at 500 with the, you know, lack of output from those guys to start the season, that's actually not a bad spot to be at this moment. I think that's the fair take right now if you're a San Diego Padres fan.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if you want me to go Mad Dog or something, I can. I've got it in me. It just feels a little bit performative. It feels a little bit performative in my case. And, somebody said I contradicted myself earlier talking about swinging first pitch. Look, man, I'm talking about the specific player of Manny Machado, who knows he's a first ball fastball hitter. He got a first pitch fastball. He hit it. Didn't hit it where he wanted to. That's what I'm saying. Earlier in the game, I think Fernando swung at the first pitch a few times, rolled over. Like, I understand that and baseball is really, really hard. Hitting especially is really, really hard. And there are a lot bigger names than some of the guys on our team that are scuffling right now across baseball. It's actually been quite an epidemic in the game. So if you want me to threaten his life, I'm not going to do that, man. I still believe in him. I still believe that he's a good baseball player. And if that makes me soft, I'll wear that, I guess. I'm not going to come in here this morning and say he's washed. I'm not going to come in here and say he's a bum. I'm not going to say that he needs to be sent down to find his head, which I saw. I just think he didn't get the job done last night. Also, that is his job, to get the job done. He is paid handsomely to do it. Handsomely. The most handsomely. So, yeah, man, I need a sack fly from Manny in that spot. At the bare minimum, I need a sack fly from Manny in that spot. He didn't come through. Is it inexcusable? No. I'm going to excuse them by watching the game and rooting my ass for him off again today.
Is it ever inexcusable in baseball to not get a hit or even not make contact, knowing that even the best players, even Ted Williams, didn't get a hit more than 6 out of 10 times in his career?
Yeah.
Didn't come through. Struck out. Even Tony Gwynn struck out from time to time. It was very rare. You know, Luis Arraez strikes out from time to time.
I mean,
you can never say that it's inexcusable in one specific instance to not come through in baseball. Now, if you get 20 of those chances and you don't come through at all, you only come through once or twice and you're getting paid a ton, yeah, at some point, okay, now you're really performing at a level that's pretty inexcusable for who you are. But in one specific instance, you can't ever say that that's inexcusable for a baseball player not to come through there.
Correct? No. I mean, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Michael Jordan didn't come through on the last shot many times. Kobe Bryant. Those two guys have more missed game-winning shots, I believe, than any basketball players in history. Is it inexcusable? Are they bums? Does Michael Jordan need to be sent down to the G League to get his head right when he doesn't come through in the end?
These are the ones that are driving me nuts. Hey, he couldn't find the zone. He couldn't find the zone. He found the zone. He didn't swing at a ball off the plate
Am I wrong about that? It was a pitch on the inside.
It was down the middle. Yeah, it was inner third, like right where he wants the
pitch. Probably what he was looking for.
He just didn't get to it. So again, I understand that he can't find the zone. He found it and gave you your pitch that you thought you could handle. Again, if he reaches out at ass out swing, oh, and wraps around a ground ball down to third, terrible. You got a pitch middle in. You thought
unless
you could handle.
Unless he gets
handle.
A base hit there,
unless
then
he gets a base hit, then it's a great process.
This is a stupid game.
Listen. If you're going to call me soft for trying to be sensible about it, that's fine. I really don't care. I really don't. It doesn't bug me, you know, because I have faith that in another spot that he will come through, or Campy will come through, or Fernando, or Jake, or Profar, who's come through so many times. There's not a guy on this team I don't believe
in. Manny's come through a lot. I mean, it isn't necessarily one time that he's come through, but yeah, he's come through a lot for the San Diego Padres over the last 5 years. I'm not making that up. He comes through a lot for this team. Manny is nowhere near Jordan and Kobe. He's been one of the best players in baseball over the last decade.
It's so we're doing this again.
Yeah, is he an all-time great? No. Is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah. Manny Machado is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is, you know.
He's this week's torture chamber death wheel, you know, and that's it happens. And he's been cold for a while. He's put some decent swings on lately, but it doesn't look like Manny. I'll give you that. Absolutely does not look like Manny Machado. That when he gets on a hot streak, he's barreling everything to right center. For sure. I totally get that frustration, man. I do. But, you know, the Rockies, for some weird reason, seem to have our number and got some runs early, stealing bags like a madman early. And that, you know, they put the pressure on. I loved the comeback. I did. Really wanted them to close that out because I feel like they should have and could have. That's a game that they're going to hopefully this isn't one of those games you lament, just like the last one you played against those. When we get down to the end of the season and go, son of a bitch, the Reds, the Royals last year, those brutal, brutal series where you thought, man, we got to scrub. It's very reminiscent of the Royals game last year where they were throwing the ball all around the yard. They're kicking it everywhere, walking guys, and we gave that game away. You got to get this thing cranked up. You got to beat cellar dwellers like the Rockies, and you have to take the next two. You have to.
All right, we will take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go through the highlights. There were some other important issues and things that were going on in that game yesterday that we can discuss as well. 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods. We've got that new Vegas prize for you, the Warrant concert tickets as well. No one's qualified yet. You'll have a chance coming up at 7:10. Don't do this. Second half of the show, Jesse Agler, always the highlight on a Tuesday. The voice of the Padres coming in with the Incorporator at 8:35. Rindle Report going until Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock this morning. Padres continuing their series against the Rockies tonight at Petco Park. We'll talk about it all. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's funny. There was an actual there was a game played. A lot of outs happened before the last double play by Manny Machado, and we really haven't gotten into any of that yet. But everything that led up to the final moment was just as important last night. We'll discuss the 5-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies. Get to the highlights of our Padres wrap-up first. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. All right, we'll check traffic with Kelly, then we'll come out with the The highlights, lowlights of last night's 5-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies next year on The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
You know, they probably would have given up some more hits. Here's a bouncing ball up the middle. Great diving stop by Kim. But all he can do is hold on to it as he rolls onto the outfield grass. And Montero, an RBI infield single, as Doyle comes in to score, and the Rockies take a 1-0 lead. Gets him going. Mm. This one hit a mile to left field. It got him going, all right. Off the facing of the second deck in left, a no-doubter for Profar. He's homered in two straight games, and just as importantly, this is now a tie game, 1-1.
That ball got out in a hurry.
40-70 season. Montero lines this one into left center field. He's found the gap. Merrill's got to go over and get it. Picks it up just in front of the warning track. Rogers has scored. They're waving Cave. Here's Kim's relay to the plate. And in and out of the mitt of Camposano. Vasquez backing up. Throws down to third. But Montero is in safely. And a two-run double for Ilauris Montero has given the Rockies the lead right back. It is 3-1. Here's the 1-1. Blackman hard hit liner into right field. That'll drop for a base hit. Montero comes in from third base, an RBI single for Charlie Blackman, and the Rocky lead is now 4-1. 2-2, Tovar swings, skies it into shallow center field, Merrill charging straight in, Fernando coming over as well, and it drops between them. Blackman's going to come home and score, and it looked like a little bit of a miscommunication in the outfield as the Rockies now take a 5-1 lead. Machado at first to a two down. Padres trail by four. First pitch swinging. Profar launches one. Deep to right field. This one gonna go. A two-run homer for Profar. And just like that, this is a 5-3 game in the bottom of the sixth. A 1-2-3 fifth. A 1-2-3 sixth. Now trying for a 1-2-3 seventh. The 1-0 little tapper up the first baseline. Charged by Cronenworth. He's going to try and tag him himself. They're going to say he was out of the baseline, and he's called out to end the inning. Wow. That was very borderline, but the first base umpire, Lance Barrett, emphatic in his call, and it is a 1-2-3-7. Claw their way back into this one. 1-0. Hit in the air. Deep to right field. Way back. No doubter, Jackson Merrill. Padres have hit their third home run of the night, and we got ourselves a one-run ball game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Kim at first, nobody out. 1-2. The pitch to Arise, hit in the air to right field, shallow down the line. Long run, Cave dives, and he makes the catch. What a play. Full-on sprint coming in and towards the line, and Cave a phenomenal catch for the first down of the inning. First pitch. Machado swings, bounces it to third. McMahon to second, that's one. Rogers' turn to first is in time, and a game-ending double play. The Padres draw 8 walks in the last 3 innings. None of those came in to score, and the Rockies hold on for a 5-4 win.
Typically, you earn 11 walks and put you in a pretty good position. Just couldn't cash in on the big hit, so... You know, it just wasn't the opportunity for us to be able to scratch through at the big moment.
Could not cash in. Yeah, 11 walks for the game, but 8 of them in the last 3 innings after Jackson Merrill's home run had made it a 5-4 game, and not one of them came through to score that tying run.
It was excruciating.
It was. That's tough. And it wasn't just Manny's double play at the end of the game. There were other moments. But let's go through this whole game because, you know, you don't get to 5-4 without a lot happening before the last couple of outs. Start with Xander Bogaerts, who hit a home run for the second straight day, a solo shot to tie the game at 1 in the second inning.
They made a big deal about the switch to the axe bat.
They did. Bob Scanlon was talking about it as he homered.
I've used one before. It's pretty great. Helps a little bit with bat speed and control. And I'm sitting here wondering, going, he's used it before with some pretty good success. Why would you ever deviate from it again? I think it. I do want to say it may be a little bit tougher on the wrist than a regular bat. I feel like
with Xander's wrist problems, maybe he decided to go. Because I think they said he used it back in 2017
Then
went back to it. And maybe it is the wrist. And maybe he's so desperate right now, he's like, ah, let's worry about the wrist later.
Yeah,
let's see
if we can get some
bat speed. And it did. The exit velocity on that home run, 111.3 miles per hour, was his highest on any ball since last August. That's a really good sign for Xander Bogaerts. I don't know if he's coming out of his slump or not.
Well,
the last couple of days, he certainly has hit some balls much, much harder, and at least gives you something to hope on after the really slow start for Xander. So that was a good sign early. Now, obviously, Randy Vasquez did not get the job done after a great run of starting pitching. That third hit came quickly. After four straight starts with two hits or fewer, first time since 1893, that incredible stat, that was over, I think, in the third inning. Randy Vasquez ended up getting knocked down in the fourth. 3 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, and no strikeouts for a guy who gets a lot of stuff plus. Didn't get a lot of swing and miss yesterday, and when the Rockies made contact, it hurt. You know, they weren't all hit hard. I think Mike Schilt mentioned that after the game. That's true. Even in the 4-run inning, I was looking at watching those highlights as Paulie was playing the Padres wrap-up. Even the 2-run double by, who was it, Montero? That didn't even get to the warning track. That was just well-placed. And then two bloops at the end of the inning, one that was broken bat by Charlie Blackmon, another one that fell in front of Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr., a little miscommunication. Randy Vasquez certainly wasn't lucky in the game, but he was up, and he was allowing the Rockies to at least elevate those balls to give them a chance to fall in. He needs to, if he wants to stick in the starting rotation and in the big leagues, he's going to need to be a little sharper in terms of location and get some more swing and miss to be effective.
I don't care what team you are and how many games you've won. If you can subtract or eliminate a pitch when you step up to the plate, like they were able to do on his slider sweeper, you're in good shape as a ball club that can hit. And again, some weak contact certainly, but when you can't land your sweeper or your slider, Benny, and then you're throwing your sinker and your sinker's not sinking and it's up, I mean, the ball Tovar hit was like, we really lucky kept that one in the yard, because that was BP. That was David Macias throwing to Xander before a game. That is right there. Lucky that one stayed in the yard. You know, listen, it was not an effective outing from Randy Vasquez at all. I also don't really fault Mike Schilt for not going. This bullpen has been much maligned. I thought Adrian Morejon did a phenomenal job bouncing back.
If the Padres had won the game, Adrian Morejon would have. I don't think he would have gotten the win. I don't think he would have been the unsung hero,
no
though.
Question.
To take a 5-1 deficit, retire 10 straight batters,
excellent,
and give your team a chance to come back into it, excellent job. I saw a lot of people talking about is it time now to give Adrian Morejon a chance in the starting rotation? Well, they gave him a chance in a higher leverage situation.
Didn't work out.
The other day, it didn't work out with a couple of walks. I mean, he's a work in progress, like some of the other guys are. He's still... I always forget with Adrian Morejon. I look at him and I think, he's been around forever. What is he, 32? Is he 25? He's still on the younger side, especially for pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's still a work in progress, and that was some great work by Adrian Morejon. So the Padres do come back. You heard the home runs by Jurickson Profar, still hot, and Jackson Merrill, who I thought had maybe his best game. You know, yes, he let that bloop fall in, and unfortunately it turned out to be the difference in the game. He made so many plays. What did you say? He's a busy beaver out there in center field.
Busy beaver.
He was making all kinds of plays. He had the great double up when the Rockies were threatening to kind of put it away there in the eighth inning after a couple of errors by the Padres had put some runners on. That was huge. And he absolutely scorched the ball. First at bat was actually his hardest hit, single the other way. Then he had a hard out, and then he had the home run, which was an absolute no-doubter. I didn't know that. I knew Jackson Merrill, you know, he hits the ball hard, but in terms of like raw power, I wasn't thinking a lot of no-doubter home runs. I figured when Jackson Merrill gets them, yeah, they'll be a few feet over the wall. That was a no-doubter. He knew it. Bat flip. Fire up his team. You know, that was an emotional swing that got the Padres within one there in the bottom of the seventh inning. A very good game for Jackson Merrill, even though, yeah, ultimately you can point and say a little better communication out there with Tatis might have saved a run that ended up being important. So that brings us then to the last three innings. It wasn't just the ninth inning, of course. They got two walks after Jackson Merrill's home run with nobody out in the seventh inning. And Luis Arraez, hero from Friday, hits into a hard double play that kills them in that inning. They're unable to score a run there. In the eighth inning, the bases loaded are walked. And Luis Camposano has a chance with the bases loaded. And the first pitch to Campy is up and in, right under his chin, and he dodges out of the way by just the scantest of margins.
I mean, he
could probably feel the air rushing past him on that ball. If it hits him, the game is tied. But he gets out of the way. And we immediately, I think, texted each other. You probably had the thought at home. Doesn't Campy need to just kind of wear that one? Take one for the team, as they say, and take his base and force in the tying run in that situation. They're giving it to you.
And I hate taking that approach at times. Like, and it just hit the ball, you know, just wear it. But I go, man, in that situation, like, doesn't the approach have to be anything inside? I'm turning on it and just taking it. Like, you got to know that's a tie ball game.
Easier said than done.
So I know. And that's why I was like, I hate even writing this. But
I know
everyone's thinking it.
Yeah, we got ice, man. We'll be all right. Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, you don't want anyone to be injured. We just saw Ha-Sung Kim getting hurt and some nervousness. You know, he ended up playing today. Tatis gets out of the way like no one's business up there when a ball is up and in. You don't want your guys wearing them all the time. I certainly, you know, I couldn't stand in against a major. I'd be ducking out of the way on pitches that were 3 feet outside if I was up there. I just, you know, I don't have that, but it is something to at least discuss that in a moment like that, is there a thought? Okay, if it's coming inside, you just have that quick thought like, I'm not diving out of the way. There's no way the umpire would have called something like that. No, you didn't get out of the way. You're staying here. Plenty inside to be hit by pitch. You know, I think, as I said, you need to be fair in this seat.
Would have been a rib shot.
It's pretty unfair to say someone needs to take a 95er to the ribs for his team when human instinct is going to tell all of us to get out of the way there. All of us to get out of the way.
So close.
Would I have liked it if it had just brushed his uniform and, you know, no harm done, but you take your base and tie the game, of course.
Put a good swing on the next one, you know.
It was a little low, but hit a liner to center.
Yep. I mean, it sucks. Trust me, I'm not pissed off. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm not pissed off, but I'm glad we got another one today.
There was also that key moment in the ninth inning that happened before Manny took the plate as well. We'll talk about that coming up. Take on Woods as well. Hour number two of Ben and Woods coming up in just a second. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's funny, there was an actual, there was a game played. A lot of outs happened before the last double play by Manny Machado, and we really haven't gotten into any of that yet. But everything that led up to the final moment was just as important last night. We'll discuss the 5-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies. Get to the highlights of our Padres wrap-up. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is your one connection for a summer job in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. All right, we'll check traffic with Kelly, then we'll come out with the highlights, lowlights of last night's 5-4 loss to the Colorado Rockies next year on The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
You know, they probably would have given up some more hits. Here's a bouncing ball up the middle. Great diving stop by Kim. But all he can do is hold on to it as he rolls onto the outfield grass. And Montero, an RBI infield single, as Doyle comes in to score. And the Rockies take a 1-0 lead. Gets him going. This one hit a mile to left field. It got him going, all right. Off the facing of the second deck in left. a no-doubter for Profar. He's homered in two straight games. And just as importantly, this is now a tie game, 1-1.
That ball got out in a hurry.
40-70 season. Montero lines this one into left center field. He's found the gap. Merrill's got to go over and get it. Picks it up just in front of the warning track. Rogers has scored. They're waving Cave. Here's Kim's relay to the plate. And in and out of the mitt of Camposano. Vasquez backing up. Throws down to third. But Montero is in safely. And a two-run double for Elauris Montero has given the Rockies the lead right back. It is 3-1. Here's the 1-1. Blackman hard hit liner into right field. That'll drop for a base hit. Montero comes in from third base, an RBI single for Charlie Blackman, and the Rocky lead is now 4-1. 2-2, Tovar swings, skies it into shallow center field. Merrill charging straight in, Fernando coming over as well, and it drops between them. Blackman's going to come home and score, and it looked like a little bit of a miscommunication in the outfield as the Rockies now take a 5-1 lead. Machado at first with two down. Padres trail by four. First pitch swinging. Profar launches one. Deep to right field. This one gonna go. A two-run homer for Profar. And just like that, this is a 5-3 game in the bottom of the sixth. A 1-2-3 fifth. A 1-2-3 sixth. Now trying for a 1-2-3 seventh. A 1-0 little tapper up the first baseline. Charged by Cronenworth. He's going to try and tag him himself. They're going to say he was out of the baseline, and he's called out to end the inning. Wow. That was very borderline, but the first base umpire, Lance Barrett, emphatic in his call, and it is a 1-2-3-7. Claw their way back into this one. 1-0. Hit in the air. Deep to right field. Way back. No doubter, Jackson Merrill. Padres have hit their third home run of the night, and we got ourselves a one-run ball game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Kim at first, nobody out. 1-2. The pitch to Arise, hit in the air to right field, shallow down the line. Long run, Cave dives, and he makes the catch. What a play. Full-on sprint coming in and towards the line, and Cave a phenomenal catch for the first down of the inning. First pitch. Machado swings, bounces it to third. McMahon to second, that's one. Rogers turn to first is in time, and a game-ending double play. The Padres draw 8 walks in the last 3 innings. None of those came in to score, and the Rockies hold on for a 5-4 win.
Typically, you earn 11 walks and put you in a pretty good position. Just couldn't cash in on the big hit, so... You know, it just wasn't the opportunity for us to be able to scratch through in the big moment.
Could not cash in. Yeah, 11 walks for the game, but 8 of them in the last 3 innings after Jackson Merrill's home run had made it a 5-4 game, and not one of them came through to score that tying run.
It was excruciating.
It was. That's it was. Tough. And it wasn't just Manny's double play at the end of the game. There were other moments. But let's go through this whole game because, you know, you don't get to 5-4 without a lot happening before the last couple of outs. Start with Xander Bogaerts, who hit a home run for the second straight day, a solo shot to tie the game at 1 in the second inning.
They made a big deal about the switch to the axe bat.
They did. Bob Scanlon was talking about it as he homered.
It's I've used one before. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Helps a little bit with bat speed and control. And I'm sitting here wondering, going, he's used it before with some pretty good success. Why would you ever deviate from it again? I do want to say it may be a little bit tougher on the wrist than a regular bat. I feel like it is with Xander's wrist.
Maybe he decided to go because he. I think they said he used it back in 2017
or something, and then
went back to it. And maybe it is the wrist. And maybe he's so desperate right now. He's like, let's worry about the wrist later.
Yeah,
let's see if we can get some bat speed. And it did. The exit velocity on that home run, 111.3 miles per hour, was his highest on any ball since last August. That's a really good sign for Xander Bogaerts. I don't know if he's coming out of his slump or not.
Well,
the last couple of days, he certainly has hit some balls much, much harder and at least gives you something to hope on after the really slow start for Xander. So that was a good sign early. Now, obviously, Randy Vasquez did not get the job done after a great run of starting pitching. That third hit came quickly. After 4 straight starts with 2 hits or fewer, first time since 1893, that incredible stat, that was over, I think, in the third inning. Randy Vasquez ended up getting knocked down in the 4th. 3 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, and no strikeouts. For a guy who gets a lot of stuff plus. Didn't get a lot of swing and miss yesterday. And when the Rockies made contact, it hurt. You know, they weren't all hit hard. I think Mike Schilt mentioned that after the game. That's true. Even in the four-run inning, I was looking at watching those highlights as Paulie was playing the Padres wrap-up. Even the two-run double by, who was it, Montero? That didn't even get to the warning track. That was just well-placed. And then two bloops at the end of the inning, one that was broken bat by Charlie Blackmon, another one that fell in front of Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr., a little miscommunication. Randy Vasquez certainly wasn't lucky in the game, but he was up, and he was allowing the Rockies to at least elevate those balls to give them a chance to fall in. He needs to, if he wants to stick in the starting rotation and in the big leagues, he's going to need to be a little sharper in terms of location and get some more swing and miss to be effective.
I don't care what team you are and how many games you've won. If you can subtract or eliminate a pitch when you step up to the plate, like they were able to do on his slider sweeper, you're in good shape as a ball club that can hit. And again, some weak contact certainly, but when you can't land your sweeper or your slider, Benny, and then you're throwing your sinker and your sinker's not sinking and it's up, I mean, the ball Tovar hit was like, we really lucky kept that one in the yard because that was BP. That was David Macias throwing to Xander before a game. That is right there. Lucky that one stayed in the yard. You know, listen, it was not an effective outing from Randy Vasquez at all. I also don't really fault Mike Schilt for not going. This bullpen has been much maligned. I thought Adrian Morejon did a phenomenal job bouncing back.
If the Padres had won the game, Adrian Morejon would have. I don't think he would have gotten the win. I don't think he would have been the unsung hero,
no
though. To take a 5-1 deficit, retire 10 straight batters, and give your team a chance to come back into it. Excellent job. I saw a lot of people talking about is it time now to give Adrian Morejon a chance in the starting rotation? Well, they gave him a chance in a higher leverage situation.
Didn't work out.
The other day, it didn't work out with a couple of walks. I mean, he's a work in progress, like some of the other guys are. He's still. I always forget with Adrian Morejon. I look at him and I think he's been around forever. What is he, 32? Is he 25? He's still on the younger side, especially for pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's still a work in progress, and that was some great work by Adrian Morejon. So the Padres do come back. You heard the home runs by Jurickson Profar, still hot, and Jackson Merrill, who I thought had maybe his best game. You know, yes, he let that bloop fall in, and unfortunately it turned out to be the difference in the game. He made so many plays. What did you say? He's a busy
beaver.
Busy beaver out there in center field.
Busy beaver.
He was making all kinds of plays. He had the great double up when the Rockies were threatening to kind of put it away there in the eighth inning after a couple of errors by the Padres had put some runners on. That was huge. And he absolutely scorched the ball. First at bat was actually his hardest hit, single the other way. Then he had a hard out, and then he had the home run, which was an absolute no-doubter. I knew Jackson Merrill, you know, he hits the ball hard, but in terms of like raw power, I wasn't thinking a lot of no-doubter home runs. I figured when Jackson Merrill gets them, yeah, they'll be a few feet over the wall. That was a no-doubter. He knew it. Bat flip. Fire up his team. You know, that was an emotional swing that got the Padres within one there in the bottom of the seventh inning. A very good game for Jackson Merrill, even though, yeah, ultimately you can point and say a little better communication out there with Tatis might have saved a run that ended up being important. So that brings us then to the last three innings. It wasn't just the ninth inning, of course. They got two walks after Jackson Merrill's home run with nobody out in the seventh inning, and Luis Arraez, hero from Friday, hits into a hard double play that kills them in that inning. They're unable to score a run there. In the eighth inning, the bases loaded are walked, and Luis Camposano has a chance with the bases loaded, and the first pitch to Campy is up and in, right under his chin. And he dodges out of the way by just the scantest of margins.
I mean, he
could probably feel the air rushing past him on that ball. If it hits him, the game is tied. But he gets out of the way. And we immediately, I think, texted each other. You probably had the thought at home. Doesn't Campy need to just kind of wear that one? Take one for the team, as they say. And take his base and force in the tying run in that situation. They're giving it to you.
And I hate taking that approach at times, like, and it just hit the ball, you know, just wear it. But I go, man, in that situation, like, doesn't the approach have to be anything inside, I'm turning on it and just taking it. Like, you got to know that's a tie ball game.
Easier said than done.
So I know. I know. And that's why I was like, I hate even writing this. But
I know
everyone's thinking it.
Yeah, we got ice, man. We'll be all right. Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, you don't want anyone to be injured. We just saw Ha-Sung Kim getting hurt and some nervousness. You know, he ended up playing today. Tatis gets out of the way like no one's business up there when a ball is up and in. You don't want your guys wearing them all the time. I certainly, you know, I couldn't stand in to, against a major. I'd be ducking out of the way on pitches that were 3 feet outside if I was up there. That just, you know, I don't have that, but it is something to at least discuss that in a moment like that, is there a thought? Okay, if it's coming inside, you just have that quick thought like, I'm not diving out of the way. There's no way the umpire would have called something like that. No, you didn't get out of the way. You're staying here. Plenty inside to be hit by pitch. You know, I think, as I said, you need to be fair in this seat.
Would have been a rib shot.
It's pretty unfair to say someone needs to take a 95er to the ribs for his team when human instinct is going to tell all of us to get out of the way there. All of us to get out of the way.
So close.
Would I have liked it if it had just brushed his uniform? And, you know, no harm done, but you take your base and tie the game, of course.
Put a good swing on the next one, you know.
It was a little low, but hit a liner to center.
Yep. I mean, it sucks. Trust me, I'm not pissed off. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm not pissed off, but glad we got another one today.
There was also that key moment in the ninth inning that happened before Manny took the plate as well. We'll talk about that coming up. Take on Woods as well. Hour number two of Ben and Woods coming up in just a second. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.